Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
And I'm Dr. Donise Warden.
And you're listening to the very first edition of What is Going On's new monthly Truth in Medicine show, the show with a mission to bring you the very latest information, reports, and research from leading edge science and new integrative medicine, much of which may be so new, even your physician may not have heard of it. Yeah.
And this month, we're going to kick off the show with a topic that, in one way or another, is going to affect all of us. Statistics now show that one in every two of us may be diagnosed with some type of cancer in our lifetime, not to mention other chronic diseases. So taking charge of our own health has clearly become of critical importance.
Being informed about what's good, what's bad, and what's downright untrue in health and medicine is the purpose of this show.
And few listeners have the time or energy to wake up like I do at 4 a.m. to research the latest medical breakthroughs and clinical trials. I also travel around the world lecturing and collaborating with some of the top researchers, scientists, and physicians in the medical world.
So each month, we're going to tackle a critical health topic and tell you everything you need to know. The latest drugs, the surgical procedures, the natural alternatives, and of course, the preventive measures, which if you start taking them now, can help you from stop you from becoming another statistic.
And we will have the most progressive global researchers and physicians as guests on this show. We're going to dig deep into the topics we're introducing you to today. And our mission is to educate, empower, and enlighten you.
So, Dr. Donise Warden, despite all the billions invested in research, cancer's on the rise. And as you said earlier, with statistics now showing that one in every two of us will experience some form of the disease in our life, that's not looking good. So tell us, why are we getting cancer and other chronic diseases? And what can we do to safeguard against them?
Well, I think the good news is a lot of it is within our control, and we're finding out more and more what that means and how we can do about it. The stats are scary. They are a major wake-up call for us all. And nearly 23% of all deaths in total are from cancer. We don't really have good data of overall survival. There's a long story of why we can't really collect that. We are living a little longer with cancer, and we're able to see it as another chronic disease that we're able to live with. But even with the survival benefit, we need to be looking about what about the toxicity and the repercussions from the treatments themselves. So eating well, exercising, meditating, all of the things that we know to help us gives us some protection, and especially from the toxins in the world. They're hard to stay away from, but we're learning more about what we can do. And 90 to 95% of cancers, Sandy, are related to lifestyle. There's no debate on smoking, diabetes, obesity as major risk factors. So we can do something about this.
You know, I think one of the biggest things that confronts people when they have a cancer diagnosis or someone they love does is, am I going to go down that traditional route of chemo, or should I look at the alternative? And of course, the alternative arena says, no, don't do chemo. And the traditional is saying, no, you mustn't do alternative. It's not proven.
Right.
So
right.
Where do you stand in this?
I stand with where the patient stands. And what I mean by that is whenever a patient comes to me with a recent diagnosis and they think they already have a mindset of which system they want to go into, I ask them to open their mind until they have all the information. And I know that what they believe in, what they truly believe is going to be the one that's going to help them, that they like their doctor, they like their treatment, they believe in it. Their body's own pharmacy is going to work with that treatment, whatever it is, and help them have a better survival rate. So it's not for me to choose, but it is definitely for me to educate. And the patients, you know, I had a naturopathic doctor that came in and said, I have breast cancer and I know I'm not doing surgery, chemo, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, and she said, help me know what to do with this. And I said, do with what? I don't even know. You don't even know how aggressive, how fast. Do we want to know more? And you're asking me to help you choose treatments. So the point was she needed to know a little more. When she found out a little more, she knew how aggressive, knew how fast, and she chose surgery to take those cancer cells out, and then she chose her treatments after that. So I think the point is always that the cancer marketing on both sides of the fence, alternative and traditional, are based in fear, and they shouldn't be. It should be based in empowerment and education. What do you have? What do you have as an individual? What type of cancer? And who are you? How is your body as a whole, and what is your belief system?
Well, I'm glad to hear that from you. You know, it's evidence to our listeners of why you're co-hosting this show and not somebody else.
Well, and you know, and so, the traditional doctors are starting to open up. You know, they say we've got traditional integrative hospitals, but mostly let's do some acupuncture, some other things on the side to help you with the side effects from the real treatments. They still don't see these other things as actual treatments, but many researchers and doctors do, which I'm excited to tell you about. Things are changing from both sides, and I think we need to really understand who that individual patient is.
So tell us about some of the theories of cancer, because there are so many coming forward, and where the research monies are going.
Right. Well, you know, the first step is that we know that cancer is smart. It knows how to move. It knows how to manipulate. It changes. It hides. And it's fast. With an aggressive cancer, I mean, it can multiply by the billions in a matter of hours. So it's multifaceted. There's many things going on. And we've got to know, you know, how do we think about that? So the main theory out there in traditional medicine is what's called the somatic theory. And that is about, it's a DNA damage. That's what's caused your cancer. Well, truly a DNA genetic problem is maybe 2% or so of all cancers. Yes, there's DNA damage by the time the cancer and tumor is grown and this and that, but the new theories, or actually I'll say old theories that are coming back around, are that, no, what caused that damage? What happened to the body to cause that damage? And so that theory, the metabolic theory, is where my camp lies, where my belief system lies, because we can look at the genes, the epigenetics, and say, okay, we've got risk factors here. We can turn silence, you know, some of the bad genes and upregulate some of the good genes. That's great research. Love it. However, we've gone down the wrong path in studying DNA as the cause of cancer. And if you read Travis Christofferson's book, Tripping Over the Truth, it'll give you all the education of the background and the names and the numbers of that. So that is the big piece, is that I think most of the money, most of the research is still stuck in that model of the somatic DNA damage theory. And many new research articles and NIH grants and all are showing that it is a metabolic disease, not a DNA disease.
I really love Travis Christofferson's book, and I've interviewed him before, and I really encourage anybody to look at that. And what he's talking there is about the metabolic theory of cancer. Tell us what you know about that.
Well, and he's gotten that. So our first, we knew the Warburg effect. That was many years ago. Dr. Warburg said, sugar feeds cancer. It's the only thing. And when it does, it changes the metabolism inside the mitochondria of the cell. I mean, he didn't really know all those pieces yet, but he knew that sugar fed cancer. He's the one that taught us that when you do a PET scan and it lights up where cancer is, why do you think it's lighting up? They put glucose into the vein, and that's where the sugar goes, is where the cancer is active. So that shows us that that is its fuel. And so now Dr. Thomas Seyfried from Boston College and many others now are studying the metabolism of this, and knowing that if we starve the cancer by getting that sugar down, then we have essentially starved it out and slowed the growth. And I've done it in many of my patients and many of us around the country that are into these different metabolic therapies are seeing this and watching it happen and knowing that we need more research monies. We need more people helping the researchers and the physicians that are going down this route. The issue is, how do you patent and make a bunch of money when we can do something with diet, lifestyle, and other things? Therefore, you can understand why the pharmaceutical model has been stuck in the somatic theory because we can come up with drugs. And I'm not saying all of them are non-helpful. Some are. Some have been successful. There are a few types of cancer that chemotherapy actually works for. But for most, not there. I wouldn't say it defines that. It's how you define works for. Right.
Oh, well, so tell us which ones.
Well, we know that childhood leukemia responds well with chemotherapy. We know testicular cancer does. There's a couple of others that are a little bit more remote, but most of the cancers we're seeing with breast and prostate and this and that, we're really not, even if we extend life, we've got to ask the question when our patients hear the oncologists say, if you do this chemo, we can extend, it'll increase your odds by 50%. You need to ask what that really means. If most of the time our stats are measured in months, not in years, first of all. So if you were expected to live 2 months, but if you took the chemotherapy and it increased, it might get you another month. You got to ask, is it worth another month for the amount of toxicity and how you feel and being sick? So patients are in stress mode. They're not hearing it. And the doctors are trying to explain, but we're not getting it across really well. And I think that's part of the education piece with chemo. What are you really looking at? Because we have fairly good stats in monitoring these things. And when you really hear what radiation and surgery and chemo might do for you, then you can make your choice. But without really understanding what it really means, I mean, if I increased your odds by 80%, you'd say that's fantastic. But if we're talking about an aggressive cancer, that could be a matter of weeks extension, not months, or especially not years.
Yeah. You talked earlier about, you basically, you know, alluding to the placebo effect in a sense when you were saying that, you know, people's own belief systems and attitudes have a lot to do with it. We've been hearing a lot lately about vaccinations, HPV, and at the same time, we're hearing about, you know, viral theory of cancer, cervical cancer, vaginal, penis, anus, rectum, throat right. cancers, tongue and tonsils. And, yeah. you know, I'm hearing about people with cancers that I've never heard about before. Is right. there a possibility here that, you know, the minute we see all the advertising about let's protect ourselves against HPV, protect our kids, etc., that it's in the consciousness. And then it becomes a bit like, you know, the placebo. You think about it and there it is.
Well, I will say these viruses are real. They're endemic. I mean, HPV, probably more than 75% of the population has it now. Some of those will cause cancer causing, some are not. But we know viruses cause cancer. We know that fungal causes cancer. And back to Dr. Warburg, who won the Nobel Prize in 1931, he informed that, you know, the property of cancer cells and that oxygen was their enemy. And now the Mayo Clinic has confirmed that cancer is a fungus. It can be caused by a fungus or is accompanied by a fungal infection. And they know that now that an antifungal drug commonly used that we use for toenail fungus can block angiogenesis. That's that growth of the new blood vessels that we see in cancers, which allow metastasis. So we've got to be aware. We live with fungal. We live with viruses around us. We live with bacteria around us. We know that the H. pylori infection in your stomach that causes a stomach ulcer also is carcinogenic. And we're getting that because everybody's taking antacids and shutting off their stomach acid, and we're seeing it. So there's autoimmune cancer risk. There's hormone cancer risk. Chinese medicine says it's sticky blood. We know that viscosity means that sticky blood means inflammation. We know these pieces. So that's where you've got to look at the individual. Do they have HPV? If they have HPV and they get a cervical cancer, then we know it was caused by that HPV. You can test these things and we know. But that's where those that are looking at the metabolic theory of the body is look at the terrain, look at the body. Does the body, this person have inflammation? Do they have an autoimmune disease? Do they have a fungal infection? Do they have candida? Do they have any of these things? Because if they do, those need to be addressed. Or else, even if some of the more the chemo, radiation, and therapy could give them some time or give them some effect, it will probably come back and maybe worse because they haven't fixed the root of the problem. And that's working with the body and the metabolism and cutting out that sugar. And Sandy, the sugar is not just from our diet. It is from our stress, because there's another type of sugar pathway that feeds that cancer, and that's when we're stressing. So stress and or bad diet can feed those cancers.
Wow. Let me ask you this. If you had a daughter or a son in puberty, would you give them the HPV vaccination?
You know, I'm not a super huge fan of a lot of vaccines, but and the HPV vaccine only covers some of the strains. It doesn't cover all of the strains. The problem is that people think, if I get this, I'm safe. You're not. So the first problem is it doesn't cover all of them. But does it do a fairly good job at covering the ones that it does work on? Honestly, it does. So that would be an education to the child in that age range and the parent. And what is the basic philosophy of the household? If they're going to abstain, if they're going to, which that's very difficult, as you know, it depends on that child. But if they're going to be promiscuous, it might be something to consider, even with the risk that comes with vaccines, because HPV is, in certain strains, are well known to cause cancer. So it's a tough one.
You're listening.
It is a tough one.
You're listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and this month my co-host Dr. Denise Warden and I are talking about cancer. What causes it? What are the most promising treatments? And how to protect yourself against it? We'll be back with more after this break, so don't go away.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Denise Warden, tell us about some of the new therapies and treatments that are looking promising.
And that's so exciting. I went to a summit of researchers and physicians from around the world in Baltimore, Maryland in November. So exciting to get, because this doesn't normally happen, to get these, all of these researchers, because they're usually stuck in their labs at their individual university, and they don't really talk until a paper's published and it gets out there. They were together and collaborating. It was the most exciting thing I've been to in a long time. So the ones that I already know, that I already recommend, that have solid science behind them: hyperbaric oxygen treatment, ketogenic diet, And remember, just doing the ketogenic, getting that sugar out of there is one piece. But if you're still stressing and it increases that corticosteroids, those glucose from psychological stress, you're still feeding the pathway. So music, yoga, acupuncture, exercise, we've got science now to show it. But ketogenic, fasting, and calorie restriction, the Calorie Restriction Society of America, doing fantastic work. We know that works. Phytonutrients. We know some natural therapies that they have been studied. We know they work well. They don't last as long as the medications because they have enzymatic activity, but they do some great jobs. One, a couple are like indole-2-carbinol, that's called DIM, blocks bad hormones. Curcumin, genestin, quercetin. They have a shorter lifespan, but they molecularly look like these targeted drug therapies that are being used. The other is microbiome, utilizing the body's own immune system. That is immunotherapy. That is. And studying that microbiome, we're mostly bugs, and living with them and making them happy. Homeopathics for their anti-inflammatory properties are fantastic. Some interesting ones, Robert Elliott in Baton Rouge, he's amazing. I'll tell you more about him later. But mitochondrial transplantation, that means putting back in the mitochondria is the little powerhouse inside the cell. That's what allows those cells a fighting chance, allows them to detox, to do all the things that they need to do. And he's looking at that, transplanting mitochondria for a potential biotherapy for breast cancer. He also works with peptide vaccines, and I think that has great potential as well. And that's in the traditional world as well. They are looking at peptide vaccines. But things that are outside of that, Dr. Ko, she has a molecule that promises and I've seen the data and worked with her in inhibiting tumor growth. It's fantastic, called 3-bromopyruvate. There's oxaloacetate, which increases the ATP in that mitochondria. It helps those, what we call the mitochondrial fluxes. That's interesting and got some good science behind it in glioblastoma. Biorhythms, that's grounding. That's the mindset of the patient and the doctor and getting ourselves back in rhythm. We've got science there. And then, there are naturopathic clinics that are collecting data on vitamin C IVs. There's controversy there, but the data is being collected. But another interesting one that I think is something to look at, Care Oncology out of the UK. They were funded by the United Kingdom to do this study, and they used 4 repurposed drugs. They used drugs to say, okay, if we're thinking metabolically about the body, what do we need to do to take out the bad things? They put them, and this could be in combination and usually is in combination with chemo just for purposes of the study, but it's the mindset that I love about it, because they put them on a statin, and you'll say, I thought you were against those. Yes, for trying to protect cardio, most of the time I am. But for this, it blocks a cholesterol pathway. But they put them on an antifungal. They get rid of that fungus that we're talking about. An antibacterial, doxycycline, and it doesn't hurt the DNA like the other antibiotics do. And an antiviral. So they're working on those pathways that we were saying are reasons and causes for cancer, and they're using these less toxic drugs, and they're having very good effect with some very aggressive cancers, and are putting data out there, and they've opened up their first clinic in the United States, working with Travis Christofferson that we mentioned earlier, and we're looking at some in Arizona and other states. So it's exciting, exciting. We've got a lot that I haven't talked about, but there's so much that is happening in the world of traditional and alternative, because we're getting a handle on the pathways and how we can help the individual patients. But do we all do all of those therapies? No. It again goes back to, what does that particular patient need?
I want to know more about these pathways. I had a friend who had stage 4 metastatic lung cancer, was given, just a few months to live 6 years ago, mm-hmm. managed to survive mm-hmm. 6 years, and only recently passed. And he had a mutation when they looked at his, did some gene testing, and they were right. able to find what they termed a pathway. What does that actually mean?
Well, it can mean a lot of things, a lot of different pathways. Some are genetic pathways. Some could be nutrigenomics, where we're looking at you're blocking certain nutrients that can or cannot act. There's the MTHFR gene. They call it the mother effer gene. That is the layman's term for it, that we know you can't process things appropriately. So pathways mean metabolic pathways, the sugar that we're talking about, or a DNA pathway. It just means that there's a blockage in the way the body should normally be running. And that pathway is kind of a generic term. But when they talk about a genetic pathway, they're talking about a gene that is either upregulated or downregulated in the wrong direction, and it doesn't allow the body to either stop replicating those cancer cells, you know, to shut it off, to keep it in check, or it's a pathway that puts them more at risk because of all of these other metabolic things we're talking about.
Well, it's fascinating when you said about, you know, you could give a certain drug and it can help somebody. I mean, the POG program in BC in Canada, that they're doing, mm-hmm. where they're looking at cancer patients who have exhausted all other treatments, and they're doing in-depth investigation of the genome, and if they find something, a particular pathway, a mutation, they might be giving them a diabetes drug. And for some people, it's working.
Well, and that's one of the four out of Care Oncology I was just talking about. It is metformin. It is a diabetes drug, but what's that doing? Cutting the sugar down that we know feeds it. So we've got to know, though, too, on that DNA pathway, there's a mixed camp in there. We say, do you want to stop that that peptide pathway, that pathway, that protein down at that level of DNA, or do you want to back up and hit it before that? So there's a lot, we'll talk about that type of testing in a minute, but if we can catch it earlier before that DNA damage or that gene gets turned on or off inappropriately, that's where we'd like to hit it and where we'd like to have the information, because then you catch it before that damage happens, because at that point it's too late. But I will say this, there's a spontaneous remission for most types of cancer and staging. There is a survivor somewhere. And I tell people, you keep that in mind. But what I really believe with those survivors, a lot of them, is they found a therapy that they believed in that actually did work on the body in the ways that it needed to, the patient saying, I believe in it. So their stress level went down and the body has a fighting chance. Again, it has a chance to get better.
Well, we're also hearing an awful lot about some of the alternative treatments, you know, dandelion root, CBD mm-hmm. oil, you know, vitamin C therapy. What's your take on those?
Well, we don't have enough science on any of them yet. There's basic research, they're promising, but like a lot of those natural therapies, they don't last as long in the body. And if you've got a fast, aggressive cancer, we've got to stay on top of it for, you know, quick and fast. Vitamin C has more research behind it, and there's more coming. But some of the others, the CBD oil and all, I mean, I think it's helpful for side effects. It's helpful for a lot of things. We may in time know more, but right now I think the jury's still out on those. I like going with the ones that we know more about. But if the patient feels better, has the inclination to say, I want to do that, if it's not interfering with other therapies, then they can. But you've got to be careful. You start picking and choosing on your own, and you choose one therapy, and it's completely negating the effect of another therapy. So why would you do that? If you have a certain oxidative type of chemotherapy going, you do vitamin C, you just made that not work. And so why did, if you chose chemo, if that's what you chose, you know, not necessarily what I would personally choose, but what that patient would choose, if they chose that, I certainly wouldn't want to stop the effect of it.
You know, you're on first name terms with a lot of these pioneers working at the forefront. Yes. Here. How are they being funded? If most of the money is going, you know, the traditional route, how are they getting the money to do their trials?
You know what? Angel investors, private people, people who have been helped by alternative medicine or who believe in this pathway, people who have lost loved ones and watched what happened, or those that are just passionate about it. So mostly private funding. There is some NIH funding, our National Health Institute, but most of that's going into the things that they consider kind of ancillary. They're funding things to help with the side effects from the chemo and the radiation and not really seeing it as a real treatment. But these researchers, bold researchers and physicians that are they are connected to major universities, connected, but they are doing the real research to back up what they're saying. They're writing the papers. They're doing the theory. They're, you know, they are really backing it up. We've got to applaud them. Some are funded by their universities, but a lot of it is being funded, you know, privately. In fact, Dr. Elliott, one of the champions, he's one that I first learned about in November. I didn't know about him. He's a general and thoracic surgeon, but he's had a focus on this mitochondrial abnormalities in cancer for a long time. He trained in electron microscopy, and he's been taking tissue, these cancer tissues, and looking under the microscope for a long time, and he knew and he could see there was mitochondrial abnormality in the breast cancer. So he's been published many times, well respected. A long explanation what he's finding out: antibiotics are hurting the mitochondria of the cell, and when you hurt the mitochondria, you're just waiting for cancer. It's just a matter of time for that to become a problem. And he has been talking about the host, which is your own personal immunity, for a long time, and it's been ignored in clinical oncology. So he, you know, has looked at that. He's working with the peptide vaccines, mitochondrial transplantation, but he's backing it up with research, with the microscope, with data, with genetic testing. And so he has his own foundation. And I'm, as a matter of fact, going to help him in the spring. We're hoping to put together a fundraiser for him for his continuing his research. So there are those of us that are trying to help on that end to quantify, to really give us the data that we need to prove what we believe to be the true causes and the best treatments for cancer.
I was surprised to hear that cancer grows at night. Why
yes.
is that?
You know, they're not even quite sure. That was coming from Dr. Schwartz. He trained, he's a radiation oncologist, trained at Mass General Hospital and in France. And he was looking at glioblastoma, which is a very fast brain cancer. And he uses lipoic acid and a hydrocitrate combination. That's new. It's not out there. Everybody, you can't get it yet. But this is one of the leaders out there, and he's the one that discovered by looking at the biomarkers and looking at this that cancer grows at night. But he doesn't know why yet.
You also say that preventing cancer will prevent a lot of other degenerative diseases, such
Absolutely.
As you know, cardiovascular, Alzheimer's, arthritis. Tell us a little bit about that.
If we look at the toxins that affect our metabolism, our body, our cells, if we look at that, anything that causes damage to us, if you have a gene and you've got a predisposition for heart attack or, you know, for heart disease or, you know, any of these chronic degenerative diseases, you're asking for trouble. So all of these beautiful things that we know that help the body run efficiently, we need to take out what shouldn't be there. That's the toxins. That's the beyond, you know, environmental toxins, but it's the bacteria, the fungals, all the things that we mentioned before. And you put in what should be there, the proper nutrition. We can do nutrigenomics. We can look at your genes and see which nutrition pathways you may have problems with. That's the ones we need to pay attention to. We've got tests to see, are you currently deficient in anything? Let's run them. Let's see. So, you know, it's an exciting time with the testing that we have to be able to look at a lot of these things and put back in what should be there, take out what shouldn't, and any disease state will be halted by this kind of treatment, and it's personalized and individualized, and that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we hear again and again, you know, that cancer is different in every person.
Yeah,
some people, you know, do better with certain drugs than others, and you know, regardless of the statistics, there are always those at one end or the other end of the spectrum.
That's
so
right.
What does that tell you about cancer?
Right. Well, there are no two cancers that are alike. And that tells me that the metabolic theory is correct, because with that, it kind of disproves the whole DNA damage thing. Yes, it does happen. The DNA gets damaged, no doubt about it. But it tells me they're all different. And all these different things that can go wrong, and that's the things that we can mostly be in charge of. We need to make sure that our personal care products, that our hair products, all these things, get the toxicity level down and put in what should be, and let this beautiful, wonderful pharmacy that our body has work correctly. It knows how to fix most, if not all, things if it has what it needs, and if it's not blocked by the things it doesn't need. So that is a metabolic look at the body.
And there are plenty of books about that and plenty of websites people can go to find out more about the metabolic theory of cancer.
That's right. Dr. Thomas Seyfried has written a book. He started off on the original research, but his book and his new papers are amazing. He's one of our leaders in the metabolic theory, and he's disproving the gene theory of cancer and saying that no drug can do what keto and calorie restriction can do. His work is something everyone needs to look into. And, you know, we've got many, there's a Dr. Slocum from a Turkish group that's taken triple negative breast cancers and doing hyperbaric oxygen, hyperthermia, and ketogenic diet with fantastic results. Now, how many people get to Turkey? But, you know, it's coming. It's being published. It's being looked at. And the beauty is that these researchers, these world experts in mitochondrial metabolism are coming together and collaborating. Dr. Swerdlow, MD, PhD. These are just names that people need to know about. Homeopathy, Dr. Bagot in France, he's using it in the hospitals. Now, I'm sure that they in the hospitals think it's only for the side effects and the quality of life. But his book called Cancer and Homeopathy, something for people to know about. And Dr. Koh with her 3BP, amazing. And Dr. David Riley. And I are working with Hevert, a company on case studies.
I'm going to hold you right there.
Yep.
I'm going to hold you right there, Dr. Denise. You're listening to What Is Going On, the Truth in Medicine show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and this month, Dr. Denise Warden is bringing us up to date on all the latest information, reports, and trials data from the leading edge of cancer research. We'll be back with more after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Denise Warden, you said something before the break that I'd like to briefly return to. You mentioned in passing hair products. Now, there are an awful lot of products out there that women especially use regularly, and they are full of chemicals and all kinds of things. And I know that you know where we can go to check out what's in those products. So will you share that with us?
Right. I think that the Environmental Working Group, EWG, does a nice job. You can type in most well-known products, and they will rate them, and they take them in. They look at the label, but they also test them, and they're looking at toxicity levels. They're a great reference point for people to look at. You know, there are more of us even developing products like natural skincare lines, this and that, because it's needed. We need more organic. We need to quit putting things on the large skin and making ourselves sick. We also need to detox. We need to look at full spectrum saunas. All of these things that we know can help us. So it's exciting, and we need to look at the liver. Talk about a detox organ. NASH, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, is on the rise, and we're taking the numbers of heart disease. And so now technology, I've got one in my office now called FibroScan, and it's a non-invasive. So in other words, we used to only be able to do biopsies to look at liver health. Now we can scan it with an external ultrasound, get very good data, very accurate data to know whether you have a fatty liver or a cirrhotic stiff liver. And if you do, we better do something about that. You can't detox these things that we know cause these chronic degenerative diseases or can contribute to it.
So let's talk about what can keep us healthy.
Right. Well, first of all, looking at some of the new testing, if we look at that, there's new news. There's what we called about liquid biopsy. There's new news about CancerSeek that generated headlines across the world. In America, they're looking at 8 protein biomarkers, right? DNA segments from genes, and this looking at, can we find it? The problem with that one is it's not doing a great job at stage 1 cancers, finding it early. It does a very good job. The positive test is strongly associated with the presence of cancer. So it's good. If you have cancer, you're probably going to see it on that test, certain cancers. But if it's negative, it doesn't mean you don't have cancer. So it might be falsely reassuring us. But a test by a doctor, and it's Papa Sotirio. It's R-I-O-U, because I know you're going to get asked. We'll get asked about it. He has a liquid biopsy that's looking at tracing the type of malignancy. It shows the number, but also the biomarkers. That means, how's it going to respond to radiation or hyperthermia or any of these types of treatments? It actually sees if immunotherapy will work. So he's far, far ahead of the game, and he showed us that in 4 hours you can have 1.8 billion more cells in the body replicating with these aggressive cancers. So first is, do you think that you're at risk? Do you think you may already have something? Let's biopsy. Let's liquid biopsy, and let's see what we're looking at. In the meantime, how do we stay healthy? Number one thing, DNA is not your destiny. Just because you have a gene. But lower your stress level, listen to music, meditate. The body has the best pharmacy in the world. It beats all the drugs. Learn how to work with your own pharmacy. Eat well, exercise. These are basics, but they are clinically trialed, and we know they work with these genes and all these things we're trying to outsmart. So we need to outsmart them by not sitting all day. It's the new smoking. And clean up your environment. Don't get the lipstick with the lead in it. These are basic things, but the mindset, your spiritual and emotional peace, that peace, I believe, is the biggest medicine out there, because there are stage 4 terminal cancer patients, and I have them in my practice, that were told to go home and die. You've got 2 weeks, and it's many years later, because they either didn't believe it or they had a very big spiritual awakening, and they were no longer afraid of cancer or of death, and they enjoyed every moment. They live in the moment, and that's just the power of you. That's your belief system. That's the best medicine, Sandy. But all these other things, I do think they're worth knowing and looking at. If you have a lump or a bump, please go get it tested. If you can do something in your emotional work or in your energetic work and it resolves, great. But if it doesn't, please don't ignore it. Caught early is much easier than caught later.
Now, I know that you and your husband, the Grammy Award-winning producer, musician, Barry Goldstein, do a lot of work where you talk about music as being a great prescription for health. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. What a great carrier. So not only can it carry the brain frequencies and let your brain entrain to it, which means you get out of this high beta crazy business into a relaxed state where you can either sleep or you can focus and be creative. And we're doing studies with Barry's music on, you know, with Duke University. We've got one now, right now, MB Anderson with the cancer patients. We're going to do one with Dr. Elliott that I talked about before. He's actually going to be looking at genetic markers and showing different kinds of blood markers and stress markers that can change in a moment. We also do EEGs. That's the brain waves, looking at that. Music is non-invasive. It's immediate. Your body just relaxes. You don't have to think about anything, do anything, take a pill, do any. What a nice way to help heal ourselves. Because the minute your mind gets involved, Sandy, and you start thinking about all this, should I do that? Should I do this? What if I take this? That stress level is also detrimental. So spending time every day in that openness into that beautiful connection around us, in us, with others, with the planet, with whatever your belief system is, doing that, that's the best healing that we have. And music is just a way to get us there faster. Immediately takes us out of our mind chatter, or it can.
Now, I heard a rumor that you and your husband were creating some meditation CDs. Are you doing that?
Well, we are. I've had patients that have, some elected to do chemotherapy and they were afraid of it, but they decided on it. And so I made some CDs. We're probably going to clean them up and do them. But if you've decided this, if you're sitting there and you've got that going into your vein and you're thinking this is killing me, it's killing my healthy cells, and that's what you're doing, then you've done the wrong thing. So mine is more about talking to your cells and letting the other cells know that they can be healthy and can be happy. If you're doing natural therapies, non-natural, it doesn't matter. My thought with this, especially with cancer, is talking to your cells. Talking to them and instructing them in what you want them to do. And it's very powerful and it's very simple, but it's profound. And I know, and I have watched it over and over again, these little miracles that aren't supposed to happen in medicine, and we're not supposed to use the M word for miracle, but I call it that, is when the patients have been able to get into a state and be able to communicate with themselves that way, and especially down to the cellular level, we can let whatever you've chosen to kill off the cancer cells do its job, while your job is to keep your healthy cells happy and normal, and keeping yourself at peace, because they're smart, they're strong. And remember, we opened the show with cancer is smart and it's tricky and it's mean. But guess what? We're smarter if we let our body do what it needs to do.
Well, is your CD available to the public?
Not yet. Boy, you're pushing me, aren't you? You always are. And you're about getting my store up, because I'm rabid about the quality of the products that I give my patients when I am doing it. And Sandy, that's coming soon too. Please just know I am working on it. My staff's working on it. We're close to that. And now that you've pushed me, it won't take us long. I'll try to get that CD out there and get it available, because it's helped many of my patients.
Good. Because
I appreciate
you pushing me. The reason you're the co-host of this show is because I've known you for a long time. I know the quality of your research. I know the quality of your work, your advice, your treatment, and I want everybody to benefit from that.
And I appreciate that, Sandy. And I will tell you that I feel so honored and blessed to have the company that I do in this world of, whether they're researching Alzheimer's or cancer or whatever, it's a magnet put around us that those have the best interest of their research and the patients. They're just beautiful, beautiful spirits, beautiful people, and I feel very honored to have them in my circle, because I have amazing mentors and teachers, and I'm happy to be able to pass that on to my co-physician, friends, my other physicians, and listeners as much as I can. When I find something exciting, I want to share it with everyone, and I'm so glad to have this platform with you so that once a month we can do it, which is I'm very excited about.
Tell us about some of the people that you want to bring on the show.
Well, I know that we can get Dr. Elliott. I've been talking about him a lot today. He's already promised that he will come on. He's the breast cancer surgeon that takes the tissue and is studying it, and he's coming on. I know that we could get Dr. D'Agostino from the University of Southern Florida studying hyperbaric oxygen and ketogenic. I know you've had him on your show already, but Dominic would do it for us. Oh, good. We'll get, well, we've got Dr. D'Agostino. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We're going to get him. We'll have Dr. Seyfried from Boston College. That's the one that's really pushing the metabolic theory and is really the leader in the forefront in that. We can get Dr. Koh about 3-bromopyruvate. We can get our doctor with the liquid biopsy to talk to us more about that. The radiation, we can get the homeopathic doctors. In fact, I think next month I already have the commitment from a doctor that works with me. We're working with a company called Hevert with these natural injections for anti-inflammatory, for depression, so for some other things. And he's going to be on, and he's fascinating, and his research is solid. So those are just a few off the top of my head, but there are so many more, Sandy, and that we'll get all the ones that we know have the real science and the real message for our listeners.
You know, Denise, I'm so glad you're bringing someone on about homeopathy. It has made me spitting mad that everybody's trying to take it down. In England, they're taking it out of some of the hospitals. There's just so much information shared about it. And
that's
I read an article just before Christmas where it was just ridiculous. They were saying, oh, do you know that homeopathy uses belladonna and that's a poison?
That's the point of it. That's why it works in that dilution.
Fake news. You know,
That's right. Yeah. Well, we've got real clinical case studies. We've got from Germany and these injectables that we've got. I'm traveling around the United States now training physicians in these types of injections that have no side effects. They work on depression, on inflammation. They work on lymphatics and moving that. They work on many other conditions. And we have the FDA's registered be able to say those things. So why would we not be utilizing these natural treatments and things? And doctors they're interested, and they want to learn how to do the type of injections that I learned in France and Italy. It's a different kind of a different technique that works well with these. But even if they just do a regular shot with these, they work very well. So I'm excited to bring that. And I know that that's next month we're going to be in, you know, think about depression and anxiety. The medications have horrendous side effects, and they don't work well. By the stats, they just don't work. They really don't. And now we've got this natural treatment that we can do that can help people. And when we're talking about cancer or chronic diseases, Lyme, I don't care. We've got stress. We've got depression. We've got anxiety. And stress next month, we're going to be able to get Dr. Love her. On stress. When I saw her lecture the first time many years ago, she said one of the worst things you can do to cancer patients is give them a self-book, because they're going to stress out because things it says to do in the stress out book. And she studied that. She proved it. So that's you know, the things that we want to talk about is just listen to music, just meditate, just relax. Don't try to become the next I'm going to cure cancer person while you have cancer. Now's not the time. You're the person that needs to work on you during that time. So I think that's going to be a fun show for us next time. And we've got a lot to learn from all of these wonderful, wonderful physicians that work in these areas. In cancer, all the things that we teach that we're going to bring on to the people we bring on for the therapies, Sandy, it's not just about cancer. Cancer is a chronic degenerative disease. We know there's not going to be one cure. There will be multiple things that need to be done for that particular patient in that particular moment for that particular type of cancer. And that's how we'll learn to live with cancer. By the way, we all have it right now. We all have millions of cancer cells in our body right now. The only thing keeping it at bay is our immune system. And when our immune system is compromised by the things that we've talked about, that's when we become in trouble. We get in trouble, and then it damages the DNA. So all the things that we will be addressing and doing will be helping for any disease state that anyone has. We're focusing on cancer because we have to. It's just too many of us are having that. But cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's, arthritis, that NASH, that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, all of that we will be addressing. And the big message is, it's up to us. And I said, Sandy, one of these days I'm going to write a book called It Is Your Fault, but it's kind of a mean title. But some of it is our fault. Some of it is not, but some of it is. Even if it's just you eating well, you're exercising, you're doing all this stuff, but you're worried.
Yeah. Well, we have that to we're stressing it there, about Denise. We're out of yes. time. You've been listening to What Is Going On's Truth in Medicine show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer.
And I'm Dr. Denise Warden. And if you want to learn the latest about how to live the healthiest life and not fear cancer and other chronic diseases, then join us on the last Thursday of every month. With information you may be teaching your doctor.
So the theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, musician, and author of The Secret Language of the Heart, Barry Goldstein. Fancy that. That's it for tonight. Until next month, it's goodbye from me.
And good health intention from both of us.
Thanks. We'll see you next month. Bye-bye.
Good night.